Talking about the Antichrist, here's Brother E.C. Moore.
You, and ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for watching today. Will you turn in your Bible to Titus chapter 2? In fact, take two passages, if you will, please. Take Titus chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 6. I appreciate you watching every Sunday, and I hope the broadcast is a real blessing to you. Our purpose in this broadcast, the Grace Believers Bible Study, is to make known the fact that salvation is free to all men in this age of grace, and that you don't need to do anything to be saved. We want you to understand that everything has been done that can be done to save you, except your faith. You must believe on the Lord to be saved, and we want you to come to the knowledge of salvation, and if you are saved, we want to present to you the truth that you might be built up in the faith. I am not trying to persuade you to come to our side. I am not trying to persuade you to send me money or join anything. I just want to present the truth unto you that you might see and know the real truth. I have no particular philosophy that I want to present unto you. I just want to preach unto you the Word. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove and rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. And he goes on and said, for the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. I don't have any sob stories to tell unto you, some fables to tell you. I don't look into the camera and distort my face and cry big old crocodile tears and pray so you can see me praying, or put letters down on the floor and get down on my hands and knees over those letters and pray over your letters and all that nonsense. I care nothing for all that. I just want you to be saved. If you're lost, I want you to see that God Almighty offered a sacrifice for you over 1900 years ago. That sacrifice is a man, and that man's name is Jesus Christ. The Bible said that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. If you're a sinner, then Jesus Christ's purpose in coming at that time was to die for you. Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and men. There is no mediatrix between God and men. The man Christ Jesus is the mediator between God and man, who offered himself a sacrifice to be preached unto people in this age. I want you to see that. But I also want you to see that, as I've got on the board up here, we've been talking about the divisions of the Word of God. In Ephesians, he said that that God Almighty had saved us and raised us up, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward Christ, toward Christ Jesus. Then there is a period of time called the ages to come. Somewhere in the future, we that are saved by grace are going to be a manifestation of what God Almighty has already accomplished. But now, he said, in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So I've got on the board up here a sort of a chart drawn out, the crucifixion of Christ back here, and the time now between the cross. And we'll say that this line here represents a dispensational boundary. It's the grace of God. It's the period of time there when the rapture will take place. The church will be caught out of this world to meet the Lord, and on and on. Now, God dealing with the world in mercy. Why, the Bible said that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. In other words, God Almighty is not dealing with you today in judgment. God Almighty has not set you, as it were, on a set of scales trying you today. God knows exactly what you are, who you are. He knows your moral condition. There is nothing hid from him. He knows everything there is to know about you. And no matter how bad you are, no matter how rotten you are, no matter how low down you are, that doesn't change the fact that when he gave Jesus Christ at Calvary, he gave him to die for you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that Jesus Christ died for sinners. The Bible says in Romans 5 that Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. It says that when we were enemies, God reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And so the world, as of right now, has been reconciled unto God through Jesus Christ's death at Calvary. Not saved by the from the wrath to come, but reconciled. In other words, God Almighty is not angry with you today. He's not pouring out his wrath on the nations of the world today. God Almighty is showing you mercy right now. He's long-suffering toward you. He's given you every opportunity that is possible to be given to an individual to trust his Son as your Lord and Savior. He's not telling you that if you'll get on your knees before some altar and writhe and agonize and cry and shed a river of tears and lay your alcohol and your tobacco on some altar there and on and on and on and make promises unto him. He said, no, 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 no. God Almighty is saying unto you, I have offered the sacrifice for your sins. I paid for your sins at Calvary. I did my job. I did everything that can be done for me to save you. It is now your move. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God says, and I'll save you. God is dealing with you in mercy today, not judgment. But there is a day coming when he's going to deal with the world in judgment. I want you to notice those two things here. In Titus chapter 2, look in verse 9. Titus 2 verse 9, exhort servants. In this particular case, the lowest form of humanity. We're not talking about employees here. We're talking about slaves. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining. Purloining is taking that doesn't belong to them. That is, they've got a master and they work for this master, and yet they steal from their master. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God Almighty is being gracious today, long-suffering today, and God will save you. Salvation is by grace through faith. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried, and he rose again. You can trust him as your Savior. If you will believe in him, trusting that he died for you at Calvary, God will save you today. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That's you. No matter how moral, stinking, rotten, and filthy you may be, mentally speaking or otherwise. The grace of God that bringeth salvation is available to you right now. Special favor. Think about it. God has special favor toward you. The word grace means unmerited favor. The favor that God is showing to you right now is unearned by you. It has been earned by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ at Calvary took your sins upon himself. He suffered, bled, and died for you. The Bible said that he became your sin. And God judged your sin at Calvary. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now turn to Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, and I beheld when he'd opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who should be able to stand? Well, then there is a day when God is going to deal with men in wrath. He's going to deal with men in judgment. His judgment is going to fall. But now, you're absolutely free. You can do as you want to do. You can be as you want to be. And God isn't going to touch you right now. God Almighty has ordained that there be a system of government in the world today, according to Romans chapter 13. In Romans 13, he said, be subject unto the powers. There is no power but that of God. God ordained these powers. In other words, God Almighty then has ordained and set up governmental powers in the world today. These governmental powers will arrest you, and they'll bring you to judgment, and they'll put you in prison today, and you might even be put in the electric chair and things like that if you don't obey them. And so that is true in this age of grace. But God in His wrath is not dealing with men today. God is going to deal with men in wrath. We're not talking about some hurricane that builds up in the Gulf of Mexico and comes toward Pensacola or toward the Gulf Coast of Texas and Louisiana. We're not talking about acts of nature. We're talking about a day when God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, is going to loose His wrath upon this world. He's going to loose His wrath upon the nations of this world. He's going to judge the nations of this world in wrath. He's going to judge them in absolute judgment. The judgment of God. Not some catastrophe that takes place in an earthquake. Oh, no. We're talking about God's wrath being set loose. Now, that isn't happening during this period of time. God is not dealing in the world in judgment. If there is an earthquake happen somewhere, it isn't that God Almighty sent an earthquake. The Bible said that God would have all men to come unto Him. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, a reference to God our Savior, look in verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. God Almighty is not sending hurricanes today. He's not sending tornadoes today. God is not sending earthquakes today. God would have all men to be saved. Say, well then why doesn't He withhold those things? Why should He? They're an act of nature, as the things of this world, as the things of nature that God has set in motion. As they operate, those kind of things happen. But God Almighty is not sending that. God would have you to be saved today. God would have you to trust His Son today. God would have you to believe in Jesus Christ and get saved, be a child of God today. But if you don't, if you reject Him, reject His love, there is a day that He'll deal with you in wrath. Turn, please, to 2 Thessalonians and look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The context of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is the day of Christ. But the day of Christ, he says, cannot come until certain things take place. One of those things is the coming of the Antichrist, called the man of sin, the son of perdition. Now look in verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, context, the day of Christ, shall not come except there come a falling away first and a real apostasy. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Then there is a real man coming on the scene somewhere in the future. This man is the Antichrist. This man is called the man of sin. He is a human being, and he will exalt himself above all the kings of this earth. and he will get political power over all the other authorities in this world. And he will sit in the temple of God. The temple of God will be destroyed during that period of time in the future out there, called the time of Jacob's trouble, called the Great Tribulation. He will sit in the temple of God that will be restored, and he will say, I'm God. You must worship me. Now in verse 5, remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that it might be revealed in his time. What is it that's withholding? Well, it's the age of grace. That's what. It's the time of grace. It's the church, which is the body of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. During this period of time that God Almighty has designated, no one knows how long it's going to last. But during this period of long suffering of Almighty God, this time of God Almighty's grace, Antichrist, the man of sin, cannot be revealed. He will not be revealed until this time is complete, until it's finished, until the fullness of him that filleth all be come in. The fullness of him that filleth all in all is the church, which is the body of Christ. The church, which is the body of Christ, is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And when the church, the body of Christ, is full, then God Almighty won't deal with the world in grace any longer. Now look at the passages. Verse 6, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. In other words, there is a religious system in the world today. And that religious system is opposing the truth. That religious system is the system of the Antichrist. That religious system is very evident in the world today. It's called Baal worship in the Bible. Baal worshipers have temples. In these temples, they have idols, and they worship these idols. These idols are set up. They're made with men's hands. They're graven images. They're molten images. And they're set up in their temples. And in these temples, according to the book of Judges, look at it in Judges chapter 2, verse 13, and then Judges chapter 17 and other passages back there. Baal worship. What about Baal worshipers? Baal worshipers have temples. They worship in these temples. These temples are dedicated to their sun god. They offer sacrifices, which they eat, as in Jeremiah chapter 44. They eat these wafers as they worship the Queen of Heaven, a female. They drink offerings to this female, this Queen of Heaven. These Baal worshipers have priests that they call fathers. Look at them in Judges chapter 17. Read it for yourself. Jesus said in Matthew 23, call no man father on this earth. And yet these Baal priests, these robed individuals in Baal worship are called fathers. And these priests sacrifice for the people. And they have teraphim. They have little statues, little gods that they carry around with themselves wherever they go. And they worship at sunrise, high noon, sunset, so forth. I didn't make this. This is Bible. Read it. And about this time of year, according to Jeremiah chapter 10, these which are called heathen, they go into the woods and they cut trees. The workmen with the axe, and they cut it down, Jeremiah 10, and they bring it into their homes. and they nail it down. They secure it there. And they deck it with gold and silver. And they present gifts to these trees. But these idols, that's what the tree is, cannot help them. All of their faith that they put in it cannot help them, the Bible said. These things that we're referring to have reference to the mystery of iniquity that operates in the world today. It is a religious system out there that opposes the absolute truth. Think about it. I've got a King James Bible in my hand here. This King James Bible exalts Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the virgin-born Son of God, as in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 13, as in verse 14, rather, as in Luke chapter 2, verse 33. There are Bibles in the world today, though, that deny the virgin birth in Isaiah 7, 14, and Luke 2:33, they shed doubt on the virgin birth of Christ, the purity of Christ, the deity of Christ. They shed doubt on the blood redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1:7, Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, and numerous other passages, they bring doubt to the inspiration of the Scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and numerous other passages and on and on. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. There is a mysterious system operating in the world today that would take away your Bible from you. They would deceive you. They would turn you from the truth, and they would turn you unto a system of works and tell you that if you want to be saved, you've got to live it. You have to work for your salvation. There are certain things that you must do before you can be saved. You must repent of your sins. In most cases, that'll be done at an altar. You must turn to God with a repentant attitude. The idea being that Jesus Christ then died for repentant sinners. That would mean that Jesus Christ didn't die for all men. That would mean that Jesus Christ died for those that would turn to God. And yet, the Bible said God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. There is a mystery system called the mystery of iniquity, and it's the system of the Antichrist that is in the world today. It's the church of the Antichrist. And Antichrist, when he comes over here, will be head of that church. He'll be the head of the religious system of this world, head of the political system of this world, and he'll rule. And he will say, I am God. And people by the thousands will bow down before him, and they will kiss his toe and kiss the ring on his finger and other things to show their obeisance unto him. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. In other words, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, is going to be revealed over here when the age of grace is over. But when the Lord comes again over here, he's going to destroy him with the breath of his mouth, the sword that proceedeth out of his mouth, as in Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation 19, the Antichrist is going to have such tremendous power until he's going to lead the nations of this world to the battle of Armageddon, and they're going to fight against the Lord when the Lord comes again. They are going to go against him full bore and fight against him openly in that day. But he's going to destroy them in that day. Right now, they can be saved. God is dealing with the nations in mercy today. They can trust Christ as their Savior and be saved today. Why tarry? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, as in Revelation 13, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. In other words, today, if an individual has some phony power and manipulates you by performing what you think is a miracle in his eyes, you trust him. It amazes me the people out there today that send money to con artists, that lie to them, cheat on them, and an individual comes along and tells them the truth and they won't believe. They belittle him and they make fun of him. Absolutely amazing. Say, well, why didn't God stop them? Because he's dealing with the world in grace today, that's why. He'll let you follow anyone you want to follow today. You can be deceived if you want to. God will permit it. He won't make you trust Christ, your Lord and Savior. He isn't going to wake you up in the middle of the night and save you against your will. You've got a free will. Trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and God will save you. Notice in verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In other words, those that will not receive the truth today, those that will not believe in Jesus Christ and accept him as their Lord and Savior in this age of grace, will be given strong delusion after the age of grace is over. God will send them strong delusion. They will believe a lie and they will be damned. Why? Because they were bad? Because they were immoral? No. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You can be saved now. Jesus Christ died for you. God is calling to you right now. God is telling you, receive Christ as your Savior. Believe in Jesus Christ and be saved right now. You can do it right now. Will you trust him today? Claim him as your Lord and Savior and confess him with your mouth right now. Till next time, good day.